Gujarat in April of this year. What happened was there is this mosque called the Babri Mosque, which was torn down 10 years ago by a group of Hindu fanatics who want to build a temple on the site of this mosque. And it doesn't matter that there are 7,000 other temples crumbling in the same town, but they want it on this particular spot for religious reasons, because their Lord Krishna was supposedly born there. So anyway, there's been a lot of conflict over building this temple, and a train load of Hindus were coming back and from this town, Ayodhya, and they stopped at a train station, and the train was burned, and all the people were killed. And, you know, the reasons for this are very ambiguous. I mean, everybody has their own side. So what happened is horrifying. Riots just broke out within the next few days, and people were burning each other alive, killing each other with swords and fire bombs, and I mean, by, you know, their hands. And I really have never seen anything like that, and actually I have a hard time with it. Wow. I can't really talk about it, to be honest. It was horrifying, and there were definitely, I mean, I guess one thing I would like to address is ethical issues again. When I was there, the Indian Rapid Action Force took us out, and they were basically, that first day, posing for pictures. And as soon as I stepped off the road, I mean, there were Hindus on one side of the road, and Muslims, and just going out in the middle of the street and killing each other. And I mean, thousands, you just can't imagine. The media really influenced the government to take action and to stop, you know, the violence was unreal, and, you know, it was brutal. And it hasn't gone away, but the government has definitely taken steps, and that, I believe, never would have happened without media attention. So that was one example where you could see a tangible result. And about all of these things we cover, it's like, I think it's really important for all of us as individuals to think about the implications of our images and how they're being used, and, you know, to do your best to try to make sure that you're not just sensationalizing things, not just getting that great image, because to be honest, the more I do this, the less I do it for photography's sake. You know, I mean, I love photography, but it's like, it's not even about photography, it's more about what's happening, and I mean, I wish I were a better writer or a poet or musician or some other way to, you know, use what you see, use your experiences to really, you know, move people. And just about the pictures themselves. I mean, they are, you know, I know there's power to them. I know that. That's why I'm continuing to do it. But I'm rambling. But yes, I see a lot of times people are just sort of doing it to make nice pictures, which, you know, I understand that, but I think in this day and age, the world is so polarized, and we're at a critical time, and there's such a lack of understanding. I mean, I live over in a world which is so different from here, and it's really, it's so obvious to me every time I go back and forth how misunderstood both sides are, you know, people over there sort of regard me as like the personal spokesman to the government here, as if I'm, you know, going to be talking to Bush tonight. And so they sort of do a lot of venting. And same thing, people, and then I come here and everybody wants to know, and I think, wow, you know, the media is not doing their job then, because there's such a gap. There's such a gap. And I mean, I know it's hard, and I know fantastic journalists, and people are doing a great job, and it's very, very difficult, you know, to really bridge that gap. But I hope we sort of think about things in a bigger picture.